The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is close at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing or drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life do not burden you, and that the day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will be an assault on everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations of that moment, to stand before the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. This seems like a strange gospel reading, which we have to begin the season of Advent. So let me look at this and summon out of it something that seems very distant and very remote from us, to summon something that might be meaningful to us in our daily lives. Keeping in mind that those who were involved in shaping these gospels all believed the end of the world was imminent. They believed the end of the world was coming very soon, and therefore their consciousness of all the tribulations and all the upheaval and the devastation of the end of the world was very much on their minds. And so it appears in the gospel. This is called eschatology. It's a branch of theology. Eschatos in Greek means the last or the end. It's that branch of theology that deals with the last things, the ultimate disposition, heaven, hell, the end of the world. The theology deals with that. It's called eschatology. And here you have a Semitic hyperbole dealing with the end times. This apocalyptic language is way beyond us. Since we don't believe the end of the world is coming imminently, we have to reach into this gospel and draw a teaching out of it that somehow fits the present moment. In the theology section called eschatology, there are two kinds of eschatology. There's future eschatology, and many of us grew up guided by future eschatology. Why should I avoid sin and live a good life? Because in the future, I want to go to heaven. Not now. I don't want to go now, but I'd like to go later. So I want to live a good life because I want to earn heaven later on. Many of us grew up with that. I grew up with that. Then there's realized eschatology, which is to say, I am now standing in a moment which is eternal. I belong to a cosmic Christ, a Christ of the seasons, a Christ of creation. I belong to a world that is ongoing and ongoing, and I am part of creation. And therefore, to summon the value of this moment is realized eschatology, wherever you find yourself in life. Moments that will touch you and change your life. Let me give you a small example. Not too long ago, I was visiting this elderly woman who had very advanced cancer. I spent a number of days with her, visiting all the time. And her family gathered. And the day before she died, she said, "I want to talk with my husband and just a priest, just me and her husband. All the kids, put them out." And there, on her deathbed, with her husband, she said, "Before I die, I want to tell you that I forgive you for any hurt that you ever imposed upon me. And I want you to forgive me for any time I have offended you." And the husband, with tears in his eyes, knelt down next to her bed, took her hands, and said, "I forgive you any time you ever offended me, and I'm asking you to forgive me for any time I offended you." And it was a sacred moment. It was realized eschatology. The grace of the moment was uplifting and meaningful. And somehow eternity became present. The ancient Celts called this journey of life deep time. It's a time when the past, the present, and the future all come together. They called this time of the year, in the fall, they called it thin days. Since they believed, the ancient Celts believed, that at this time of the year, in the fall, kind of a dying in the fall, the veil between the past, the present, and the future is very thin. These are thin days in which we are reminded that we belong to something far greater, far more extensive than we first believed. What does this mean to us, realized eschatology? One of the desert fathers, ancient desert fathers named Abbe Moses, tells this story. He said, on one occasion, a young monastic came to him looking for spiritual advice. And the wise Abbe Moses said to him, "Go to your cell. Your cell will teach you everything you want to know about life." And that has become a dominant spiritual counsel ever since. Wherever you find yourself in your life, in whatever condition you find yourself, that's sacred space. That's where God speaks to you. Don't go rushing. Don't ask for permission. Don't go looking for somebody. Come into God's presence in the place in which you find yourself, wherever it is. It matters not the judgment of other people. This is profoundly personal. Go to your cell, and your cell will teach you everything you need to know about the spiritual life. Are you married? Are you single? Are you gay? Are you lesbian? Whatever you are, this is your sacred space. Go to your cell, and your cell will teach you everything you need to know in the spiritual life. Now, this will happen to us in unusual ways. Exactly 30 years ago, I did an extended period of sabbatical in India, and I was a chaplain to Mother Teresa's nuns in Calcutta. I go say Mass every morning, and Mother would talk to me, and I would get one egg and a piece of bread and a cup of tea for breakfast. All the sisters would eat all the stuff that gave to the poor, same food. But Monsignor, well, we had to give him a special breakfast. So I got this one egg, bread, piece of bread, and tea, and Mother would talk to me. I was so deliriously happy I mean, I sent a fulfillment. I recovered my original zeal for being a priest. It was marvelous. And I remember saying to Mother once, I said, you know, I could stay here and find meaning in my priesthood for the rest of my life. It's so meaningful, so fulfilling. She said, no. Your Calcutta is back in Pasadena. Go home. The same advice that Abbe Moses gave. Go to your cell. Your cell will teach you everything you need to know in the spiritual life. That's called realized eschatology. Change happens. I mean, many of us can go back to, I remember in the 60s, the Beatles came out. Pot smoking was kind of the in thing. Haight-Ashbury, Flower Children, anti-Vietnam War, and the elders, my age people, said, I don't know what the world is coming to. Remember that? They all looked at us and said, you are in big trouble. I don't know what this world is coming to. We are the ones that we're talking about, and we're still here. Look at the younger generation today. They have to go to their cell to find where God speaks to them. Don't be anxious. There's goodness, there's wonder, there's promise, there's possibility in all people. We just have to see with the eyes of faith. That's what realized eschatology means. It means that change is happening. Look at your life. Look back over your life. You'll see how change happened. Some of it was very pleasing, and some of it was a burden and a challenge. But change happens. Way back in the 60s, we had the Vatican Council finished in 1965. I was just 1 year ordained. We changed the altars around. We changed Mass from Latin into English. And there was a huge upheaval in the church. People were leaving the church saying, we can't stand these changes. But change happens. The teachings of the church have to be refreshed. The life of the church, we are the life of the church. That's realized eschatology. We're coming to terms with the fact that there is something greater than anything we can imagine. There's a spirit, a movement, a sense of God in everything that happens. So make this day holy. Make today holy by the manner in which you interpret God's presence in your life. Pause for a moment. This awareness of realized eschatology is only given to those who have time. Time to be silent. Time to listen. Time to sense. Time to belong to the moment. And we're all short of time. I've said many times around here, nobody knows how many miles it is from here to Long Beach. We just know how long it takes to get there, because that's the way we live. We're all impoverished for time. Time of the heart. Time to forgive. Time to understand. Time to bless people. Time to listen. Give time today. In that way, somehow, we will bring together what the ancient Celts called deep time, the past, the present, and the future. Amen.